What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Chop Sports Daily Podcast here on a Thirsty Thursday. It is Thursday, September the 15th. I keep doing the 16th. I mean, I'm going to just go in there every day and I'm going to update the date. That's on me because I'm tired of getting the date wrong. I lose track of days so goddamn easily. Anyway, it is September the 16th, 2021. Your host here, Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ Bass going behind the glass. Well, there's no glass, but he's behind the scenes of everything you're about to see as far as the graphics workers are concerned. Both of these guys putting in the work. So Thursday, week two, we're here. Before we get into the game, I do want to run down some of the higher stories. I mean, I see one on here that I just want to throw my head through a wall, and I know we got to talk about it anyway. But how you boys feeling? Are we good? It's Thursday. We're back and, you know, good.
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right. You're good.
I'm all right. I woke up an anxious mess this morning.
It's week two.
You know, have you ever been diagnosed with restless leg syndrome? Cause no, bro, you rock it. This entire place when your knee is moving. You probably don't even realize it. And by the way, he's wearing one of the greatest shirts of all time. I would put him on camera, but it might screw things up, but the best shirt of all time. He's wearing his shirt as Billy Mays.
Mays, the legend.
The legend that is Billy Mays. He's wearing an actual Billy Mays t-shirt. So shout out to the legend that is Billy Mays, who came up with what?
The OxyClean.
OxyClean. That's it. Sponsored by OxyClean. So AJ, what do we got going on as far as in the world of sports before we break down Monday Night Football? We're going to set your lineups today as far as either fantasy football is concerned. There's a lot of players that play tonight that might be in your lineup, so we want to definitely do that ahead of time before we get into all of our picks. Tomorrow, we'll update all the standings today to see how we did, because I'm actually curious to see how I did. I remember who I picked, but like the spreads and stuff is just like picking against the spread is a whole nother ball game. That's the sauce department. So he's good at that. All right. So what do we got, AJ?
Yeah, so let's just go into the first topic I wrote down. Devonta Freeman, he's been promoted to the active roster, but Le'Veon Bell remains on the Ravens practice squad. What does this mean to you guys? Let's hear it.
Lev Bell was signed first, if I'm not mistaken. Correct?
Out of the three.
Out of the 19 running backs that the Ravens decided to add after they lost 19 of their own running backs. Lev Bell was signed first, then Devonta Freeman. Devonta Freeman, I want to say this is only because he was most recently active in an NFL game. Does that make sense? Like, he played with the Giants last year.
Play in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he did.
Did he play, though?
But was he active?
Did he play? I don't know if he played, per se. All right, fine. He's more – I don't know. Maybe it's just a scheme fit. Maybe they're just not gelling. Maybe they just don't have the room. You know? Do you feel like this is a shot at Lev Bell, or is this like a scheme thing for the Ravens?
I think we're talking about practice squad running backs.
Talk about team, practice.
Right, that we already established my opinion on this situation, or my take. Tyson Williams and Latavius Murray, that's the two that you need to worry about. If either of those guys go down, when was the last time Devonta Freeman had a productive season?
When was the last time
Le'Veon Bell had a productive season?
Long time ago.
I'm not really concerned about this topic one bit. Le'Veon Bell, he's a former star. Devonta Freeman's a former, like, kind of star. But right now, they're just practice squad running backs.
I think this helps a Tyson Williams in, like, prep. If you could pick the brain of Lev Bell, who used to be a legendary runner in the league, and then pick the brain of Devonta Freeman throughout the course of the week, this is probably going to help him mentally.
Maybe.
Help his mentals.
It could. Sort of. I mean, if anything, what it's going to do is it's going to have him looking over his shoulder, and I think that might help him more so than anything. Because right. I don't know that Le'Veon Bell is the coach type. I don't know. I have no idea how just he is as a teammate.
Keeps to himself.
But the fact that there's some veterans that have some acumen, some you know, decent history in the league – behind him, I would say that's going to keep the fire lit if you actually need to have something to keep the fire lit. But other than that, I just don't see this as a real story. Mm. We're talking about a third running back.
Yeah, this is true.
We're not talking about a third running back on
it's any just very interesting. It's very interesting, though. You know, I find it very interesting because, look, if you're going to sign all these running backs.
We're talking third running back.
Yeah, that's true.
That's about it.
What else, AJ? Here we go. Here's the news that broke my goddamn heart yesterday, but go ahead.
I'm sorry we got to mention it, but we would be remiss if we didn't. DeMarcus Lawrence is to miss, unfortunately, 6 to 8 weeks with a broken foot, and this is a brutal loss for the Dallas pass rush. Let's talk to the Dallas correspondent himself, Dave. How do you feel, obviously?
This is a big loss. Old me would have said, well, they got depth and they got kids and these guys are all coming up. Bradley and Nye, you know, you got friggin' as I say that, just Bradley and Nye. No, Dorrance Armstrong, guys like that. There are players on this roster. Don't get me wrong. And Dorrance Armstrong on a contract year, who's been like Jerry Jones's pet cat for the last couple years, meaning like you kind of wondered, why are you even on the roster? You know, you haven't done anything, right? This is his time to shine now. Dorrance Armstrong, that might be a name that you guys are talking about, you know, come Monday morning. You're like, wow, Dorrance Armstrong did really well.
Or we're going to be like, wow, Dorrance Armstrong
sucks. Yeah, no. Correct. It's either one or the other. I truly believe that it's
who
a
else,
big.
Who else is out on that defense? There's somebody
Randy
else.
Gregory is on the COVID list. So both defensive ends are not going to play in this trouble. Game. Right. They're in trouble. Justin Herbert, if you're Justin Herbert, you're licking your chops right now.
I can promise you this. If the Cowboys drop to 0-2, there will not be any sighting of moral victory, Dave.
No, there won't be. There will not be moral victory. You don't understand. Like, I know that, like, to dive into the personal realm of all this, because it is, you know, it's my life. This Cowboys team is my life. So I get this news, right? And yesterday I got here early to record the Jersey Boys podcast on the Blogging the Boys podcast network, right? And the reason why, like, truth be told, the reason why we're staying over there is because we get paid to do it. So me, Brett Ernst, Keith Ernst, right? We're doing a Cowboys podcast. We've been doing it for 2 years now. When this news broke, I was hit up by my producer, and they're like, make sure you lead in this week's podcast with this news. And I'm in my head, I'm like, well, I already recorded, you know, and like now. Tonight, you can't see it all, but there's a softball jersey hanging up. I got to take it off the wall, off the Raptors, like Jordan tonight. Coming back, Chop Sports softball's back tonight, by the way, Fall League. I'll be playing that game, right? And then I got to shoot back here to record Jersey Boys all over again because of this news, and that just breaks my goddamn heart. And on top of that, I had to book a hotel yesterday. Ah, it's just a mess yesterday when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. But getting back to the story, which is obviously the topic of conversation, it's a big loss. Justin Herbert's going to kind of have himself all day to kind of throw on some typically not great cornerbacks. You know, Trayvon Diggs, actually, if you looked at his stats on Mike Evans, he shut Mike Evans down. He really did. I think Trayvon Diggs is going to be a great corner in this league.
Yeah, I texted AJ the other day about it. When Trayvon Diggs played the way he played, mm-hmm. and there was a little bit of a beef going on prior to in the lead up to that game where AJ said Trayvon Diggs was, what'd you call him?
I called him trash. And then
trash,
and
hot then garbage.
Gus Edwards tears his AC.
But, hello, karma, my old friend. Good. I know you don't like karma.
I sent him a text and what were you saying?
No. I said karma because of that. You don't believe exist, in that shit. But, so.
anyway, since I lost my train of thought, sorry. We'll just move on to the next topic.
Yeah, well, all right.
Asshole.
Big loss. Dallas Cowboys will struggle without him.
In other words, I said Xavier Woods was going to be good to AJ in a text. I don't know why I even brought
Xavier
it up.
Woods.
What's his name?
Trayvon Diggs.
Trayvon Diggs.
Xavier Woods is now.
This is what happened.
Where the hell did he go? Minnesota? Anyway.
My pre-show.
You need it. If you need it to function, just do it, okay? Right here in the office during the show. Why not? What else we got, AJ? Bro,
all right. So
Do not tempt me.
The next thing on the docket right we got is Urban Myers. He is obviously the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. It has been 1 week. It was a pretty brutal loss to the Texans. But now he's being asked by interviewers, are you interested by the USC job? And he said no. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, he has to say that. You can't go to like, you know what? That's intriguing. You're brand new in the NFL. You already lost your opener. You got to regroup with this Jaguars team. And by the way, I'm going to say this now. If you're watching this, listening to this, tweeting, whatever you're doing with this podcast, the pronunciation is Jaguars. Jaguars, not Jaguars. I heard it today on a podcast. Actually, it was the I'm Your Football Team podcast.
You know, and I'll use this. It's the H is silent in Clyde Edwards Elair.
Okay, fine. But this one is more prominent.
I got a text from my brother last night. He was like, dude, tell Dave that the H is silent. And I was like, what? And he's like, it's Clyde Edwards.
He really does Elair. Listen to every single thing. He does.
Yeah, I get
my
like
God.
Long notes.
I'm that excited
I don't respond to for like a week at a time, and then I'll go to text him something, and I'll be like, oh shit, I guess I should text him back about this. But yeah,
I try to text my brother like once a day, you know. But like, I know how busy he is, and like, if I get a one word answer, my first knee jerk reaction is, oh man, is he mad at me or something? But I know how busy he is.
I don't even care if anyone's mad at me anymore.
Oh, I do. I mean, when it comes to like, I think there's
I
only like
say that.
Two
I
people in the say that. World that I get.
I shouldn't
like,
say that. I should,
three people.
My family. Like, I don't do anything wrong to my family members. So if they're right, mad at me, either. They're I'm assholes. Just, so right. I'm just the most peaceful, perfect brother, son. Yeah. Name it.
Look but at that. You're just you're
Urban
just
Meyer.
Jack of
no
all
chance
trades.
He would leave for USC.
Job. No, no.
AJ puts cap in big caps, and, which means that Urban Meyer is bullshit artist. I don't believe that he's going to the USC job. I think that he kind of.
He might if he gets
public
mixed in 1 year.
Public perception of him is already so bad that if he goes to the USC job, he would literally grow horns and just become Satan himself. But there is a guy that I do think that has been clamoring. The public has been clamoring for an NFL job for this guy for quite some time. And he has gone on record. I don't know when, but I know that I saw that it was a quote that maybe that wasn't even a quote. It was just someone familiar with the situation reported that Eric Bieniemy is down for the USC job.
Okay.
Now, does USC hire an interim coach or do they go right for him right now? And then what happens?
I would pluck his ass right now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look, are we going to go through another offseason when all these NFL coaches get fired?
But here's
we're going to hear about Bieniemy all of a sudden.
Here's the problem. The interview process is extensive when we're talking about USC. Mm-hmm. They're not going to just interview one guy. Coaching in the NFL, specifically an offensive coordinator, there's a lot of layers to that. You don't have time to see your family, let alone go on a flight and go interview for a job. You do see it a lot in the playoffs, which is kind of alarming to me, but I don't know. Is it a good look for Bieniemy? He deserves a job. Does he
deserves a job for the last 3 years.
Like if he's offered a ton of money, he has no choice but to take the job because at 100%. This point, he's never been offered the NFL job, but does he... If he takes the USC job, then he's going to get offered an NFL job within a season. So is he?
I guess that's that's the method. Maybe that's the. I'll go down to USC. I'll turn that program around, and then I'll get the lucrative. Come coach my team. Yeah, like Texans made a bad hire. The Eagles could have hired him.
Of the highest powered offense in like the last 30 years.
Right.
The 3 year period is
correct
isn't enough to get
correct.
You a job.
That is correct. What else we got? Oh my God. This is actually very disheartening.
Sad. Yeah. I'm very sad for this guy. I'm a big Gerald McCoy guy. He's been a defensive tackle and a pretty solid one throughout his career. But Mr. Gerald McCoy has injured his knee and will be out for the season. Unfortunately, this is very eerily similar to his situation in Dallas where he tore his ACL.
Yeah. He was a cowboy for about a cup of coffee. And then, you know, he goes down and then. It's like injuries are always going to be that really thing that just kind of sucks.
I wonder who he wished injury on the day before.
In order for him to tear his own shit? Yeah, I don't know. It sucks. It looks like the end of the road for Gerald McCoy as far as like it's very hard.
I thought it was – I didn't even know. And I probably shouldn't be admitting this on the show, but I didn't even know that he was in the league.
Oh, yeah. I was real excited for him to sign with the Raiders.
When I saw this on the notes, I was like, oh.
Yeah, it sucks. So can't spend too much time on this because there's not much to talk about when it comes to an injury, but it blows, man. It really does blow. A big loss, not a big loss because he got in very limited time with the Raiders the other night, but he would have been a really nice, solid addition to that D-line that's already looking pretty damn good, you know, so that kind of blows.
Firmly agree. That's a hard loss. The next thing
from down to a little funny, right? This
yeah,
is funny.
Yeah, we went from sad to a little bit of funny. We got Dennis Schroeder poking fun of himself. If you guys didn't know, Dennis Schroeder in the previous offseason could have signed an extension with the Lakers for 4 years, $84 million. He decides to play the season, and at the end of the season, when free agency comes. He doesn't get the deal he wants. Instead, he gets a deal for 1 year, $6 million.
This is poetic. You know what I mean? Like
you said, we were moving on from sad to funny. I got to say this graphic is a little sad.
What is it?
I don't. And AJ's like, wait, are you looking at me? Well, it's sad for multiple reasons. One, yes, it is a little sad because there's a basketball player with a football field, but I know that AJ works hard on the graphics, so I'm only saying this because I think it's funny. That said, it's also sad because of the story, bro. He literally just lost $85 million.
I know. Poor guy only makes $6 million. Yeah, only bro, makes. Bro. As is this picture is with the Ferrari or the Lambo right behind him in the blue. Like, come on, man.
Those are rentals.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Listen. You will never, ever, 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 ever hear me feel bad for somebody that makes anything more than what I make. You know what I'm saying? Like, screw you, man. Just save your goddamn money.
I'm not going to say screw you. I say he fucked up. Screw his agent. But
Bugatti. It's a Bugatti. Sorry.
Yeah, bro. That's $85 million. That's right.
So he would have been broke then, because if he would have took the $85 million deal. Well,
right. Yeah, he
would have spent it ridiculously. Screw that. Whatever.
I do feel bad for
Schroeder. I don't feel bad for. Yeah, I'm going to feel bad for a millionaire.
I feel bad for me that I made that fucking draft and got it torn apart.
You just got done feeling bad for Gerald McCoy.
For an injury. That's not self-inflicting. This was self-inflicting. You're an idiot. You thought $84 million wasn't enough.
I have no qualms with you saying he's an idiot at all. And I don't even really care if you don't feel bad for him. I'm just saying I kind of do.
Okay. Well, then that makes you a better person than me, I guess, Chris, at this point in juncture. What do we got? That's it?
We've talked about all the good stuff. So now it's time to get to the great stuff. We are talking the Thursday night football matchup tonight. Giants at Washington.
Take that ticker off so we could get the full effect of my graphic.
Oh. What are you talking about? Oh, you got the yard marker. Okay. Yeah, right. Oh, and
you
the rest
like
of,
that?
The rest of the logo.
Is that Kirk Cousins?
That was Kirk Cousins. But anyway, we have ourselves tonight, Thursday Night Football, week two. We're here. We made it. Congratulations, everybody, for making it through the first week and not, you know, jumping off any bridges, even though I'm sure there was people that were, you know, contemplating it. Gooch. Mm-hmm. But Washington will visit. Nope, that's wrong. New York will visit. Take the bus ride down to Washington, D.C. I know it's a bus ride because I've done it so with the team. So we got the New York Giants taking on the Washington football team. The spread is 3.5. The over-under is a low, abysmal 40.5. So I would say, like, go nuts on the over, but both of these teams kind of stink when you're looking at it. You know, breaking down the key matchups, I guess, this is big because you got Daniel Jones, who has already, I mean, we talked about fumbling the bag before, but he's already fumbled the football and lost, which was actually, it was a Tony Romo moment here at the studio during last week's broadcast on Sunday. Ben Wexler was here watching the Giants, saw Daniel Jones take off and run, and he said, he's going to fumble this ball. And he did.
I don't want to give Ben credit because he's the most, he predicts that on every fucking play. Like, oh, every time he runs, he's going to fumble. And then when he fumbles,
it did get a little tired. Yeah, toward, like, my team sucks. I'm like, okay. And that's what sparked, like, a big debate. Like, well, Dave thinks his team is great. I'm like, no, I just think we're better than the Giants. And that's not hard.
Suck.
Oh, okay. But anyway, Daniel Jones, Washington front. The front seven against the New York Giants, abysmal offensive line. So this is something that we're going to see a lot.
Nobody's blocking Chase Young in this game. Nobody's blocking
Montez. The Giants can't even block themselves. Did you see that meme?
Sweaty ball sack, Montez. Sweaty ball sack.
Oh, man. This is I would say that the story
I'm gonna dip his of a sweaty ball
all
sack.
All right, already.
Daniel Jones.
Sweaty.
As he's just balls. Oh, my God, you guys are insane. But I would say this. With that, Daniel Jones is going to be on the run. He's got to make plays. His wide receivers got to extend plays and keep themselves open. The Washington defense is very good, probably one of the better in the league. But, like, shifting over to the other side of the ball, there is no more Ryan Fitzpatrick. There is no more slinging the football down the field. Taylor Heineken. I don't know. I'm literally throwing two names Heineke out there. Heineke. He got his little recognition last year in prime time. The world was watching. Everybody's like, that's the guy.
And we might get a little bit of a Flutie Flakes action and get this guy that comes out of nowhere and flings it. We don't know.
Maybe. Right? Maybe.
Last year, I remember watching the defense rally behind this guy, and Chase Young was anointing him.
Pointed his jersey out or whatever.
He was talking like he was the man. So, hey, if the team believes, and I think they're going into it with a little bit of confidence, I think Heineke is athletic at least. I've been on the Washington bandwagon all
both season. Of you are psychotic. So picks him to win 12 games.
Obviously, Fitz magic going down hurts, but you know what? This isn't how I expected them to win football games. Wasn't going to be throwing the ball all over the field. I expected them to have an Antonio Gibson show, kind of like the Christian McCaffrey show, and using the receivers in a similar fashion that Carolina used theirs. Not to say that Carolina's been the best team, but Carolina didn't have that defense that Washington has. So I think that's a big difference maker.
I mean, we're going to see the matchup between Scary Terry McLaurin and James Bradbury IV. I don't know if that's much of a thing anymore with Heineke as your quarterback. Well, we'll see. Daniel Jones versus the zone turnovers. That's actually really funny. Daniel Jones not turning the ball over. We'll see.
That's the biggest matchup of the night.
It really is.
Stop himself.
It's him versus the 20-yard line that he tripped over last year and turning the football over. Listen, Giants fans, I'm sorry to say this, but you know, you took this guy fifth or sixth overall that year or whatever pick it was out of Duke. A lot of people didn't even know Duke had a football program anymore. You know what I mean? So this is very alarming for the Giants fans to get behind this guy. Has he shown flashes of good? Sure. Why not? But there's too much bad to outweigh the good right now. And that offensive line was not improved at all.
The only thing I've really seen out of him good is that he's fast for a white guy.
I mean, sure. I mean, there's not many of us.
I was going to say, and honestly, Dave, what I really loved about what you said is he's shown flashes of, and you stopped yourself from saying greatness. You said good. Because there is no flashes of greatness with Daniel Jones. He is mids. He's ass. I'm sorry.
That's so funny that you say that because I did.
The mids reference.
He is Miz?
Mids.
Mids. Oh, Christ. Now what's that?
It's like a, you know, he's mids. It means like
bad weed.
Bad weed.
Oh mids. My God. So I mean, I got to catch up with the lingo. I feel so, you're older than me and I feel like the oldest head in the room. I really do. Sometimes, at least when you guys are talking to each other and in your British accents every goddamn day.
I don't care.
There we go. Like it was like on cue. But anyway,
James Bradbury.
You know what though?
It's
not even British anymore. It's to the point where it's like Scottish. Yeah, that's it. So anyway, player props. Let's talk about it. Taylor Heinicke, under 242.5 yards. That's definitely more Scottish. I know, Scoop. Thank you for chiming in, jerk. Taylor Heinicke, under 242.5 yards. I'm going to say that in order for the Washington football team to win this game, he's got – I know Gibson. He's going to get a lot of those underneath yards to Gibson. What do you think? I mean, I'm not a big
– Am I going player props? Am I picking one? Like right now, I guess we should do a little
more pre-production.
No, that's fine. No,
that's fine. I'm good.
I'll take the over on the Logan Thomas, the player prop here, over 4.5. That kid's not going to know who to go to, and the tight end is always your best friend.
I'm taking over on all of these.
Okay. So you're taking over on 242 yards out of Heinicke. You're taking over 4.5 catches out of Logan Thomas, and you're also taking Daniel Jones to at least throw one pick. I am so on this board. I might struggle with the Taylor Heinicke under over thing because I don't know how
I
much
think they're begging people to take that under.
They're also taking under. They're begging people to take the goddamn under the game. 40 points in an NFL football game.
They're actually begging you to take the over.
That's what I'm saying. So here's the thing. If you think, riddle me this, if Heinicke goes over 242 yards passing, don't you think they've scored maybe more than 20 points by themselves or no?
No?
Okay. So you just think it's a lot of...
I think it'll be a lot of intermediate rounds more than anything.
I mean, I don't know if this kid's got an arm. We're about to find out. I don't remember him stretching the field at all.
I didn't necessarily say that I think it was going to go under either.
Ooh. So, there's a hush falls over the crowd. All right. So player props, good to know. Now it's time for the meat and potatoes. Who do we got? Here's what we got. On the screen, you're already seeing the picks, but I'll throw it to AJ first. Who do you got?
I mean, I got the Washington football team -3.5. I was listening to the Sauce's video earlier. He was doing a preview.
Did he give a free pick?
It was a free pick. Ooh. Yeah, I'm not just airing out.
I saw the video too. So I wanted to reiterate that he does that sometimes.
Yeah. So he put a video up. He picked the Giants +3.5. And he was kind of bringing up the fact that Washington gave up so many third down conversions.
I think there was 14 third down conversions by the Chargers last week. 14. Yes.
Yeah, so that was an unholy amount. And the other thing he brought up was that the Giants will be more aware of the fact that they wasted plays and were going for shorter routes than going for big plays with Kenny Galladay, Slayton, Barkley, such as that. I think the same principle applies to Washington football team. Don't you think they know that they messed up on their third down conversions? They have to strengthen that point of the game. They have to kind of, you know, be better this week. I just think that Washington football is going to dominate this game. Giants don't have a good offensive line. They don't have a good offense. I don't believe in that team whatsoever. The only thing I do believe in for the New York Giants is their defense. They're a bunch of studs.
Okay. Gooch, where you at? I mean, obviously, on the screen, we have the pick. Yeah. So, but what do you got? Back it up.
So I think that Logan Thomas is going to be a handful for that Giants defense. They're good at covering.
How did Noah Fant do last week? He was pretty good last week, right? So like them covering the tight end, I think
he was
middle of the pack.
Okay, I just think Logan Thomas presents a different kind of matchup issue for the Giants.
It's a different
breed of struggle in coverage with Blake Martinez. I know that well because I owned him. Well, I didn't own him, but the Packers owned him for a long time, and he couldn't cover tight ends, specifically guys that are 6 foot fucking nine like Logan Thomas is. Logan Thomas is a matchup issue. And the Giants' offensive line is going to have zero answer whatsoever for the Redskins' defensive line. Washington, you mentioned the third downs like Kyle brought up. Now, the difference between that is Washington is playing Daniel Jones this time around and not Justin Herbert. So I think stopping
a little bit of a drop off,
stopping Daniel Jones on third down when he's got no pass protection is going to be a little bit easier for the Washington football team's defense than it was last week. And plus, week one is an anomaly across the board. That's what I'm choosing to stick with.
You're sticking with that only for the sole purpose of the Packers.
Not only, because it's week one and fucking very true. Underdogs covered.
Jets should have totally won. So,
and yeah, I also think that with that extra half a point, I'm not sure where the money started or where it's going, but I feel like at 3.5, they're begging people to take the Giants. We keep on
money's
saying
going on
begging,
the football team.
So the money's going and on the football Sharks. Team. At this point, I feel like the point spread will probably end up going down to 3.
While you guys have made fantastic points throughout this the picking process when it comes to the Giants or the Washington football team, yes, I agree with everything you guys said, right? I'm like on board with everything, but I'm going to go as far as making it as easy and as simple as this. The Giants suck. They are so bad last week. They look so bad on both sides of the ball. The Washington football team will be playing inspired football behind the thought of not having Fitz anymore, and they got to rally around this kid. I'm taking the Washington football team. Maybe if this spread was even higher, even if it was like 5, I still think I'm taking the Washington football team. I think they win by a touchdown or more. That's me. So that is your Thursday night football picks. We are happy it's Thursday. We're happy football is back. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to help you set your lineups, boys and girls, for your fantasy football week. And I'm not sure if any of those players are included in tonight's game. That might be. I'm not sure. I forget. I didn't look at them thoroughly. So we'll be surprised when we come back. We got some fantasy football talk. Guys, it is almost time for the best time of the year, and that's tailgate season. And when you think about tailgates, you're thinking about beers and you're thinking about food. And when you're thinking about food, you're thinking about hot sauce. I'm talking about Silk City Hot Sauce. It's a mom and pop business from Vermont that produces hot sauce with locally grown peppers. There's several blends and flavors. Here's just a few. You got Slurp, which is fresh peaches, honey, Vermont apple cider, habanero and cherry pepper blend with a hint of smoked jalapeno. We got the Badass Jew, which is 4 pepper blend jalapeno, cherry pepper, serrano, and habaneros with tomato, roasted red peppers, roasted garlic, and Mexican seasoning. Good Morning Jonestown, which is a smoked habanero and smoked serrano with carrots, roasted peppers, garlic, onions, and a splash of white vinegar. Killer Hot is their second hottest, 3 pepper blend featuring fatale, habanero, and ghost with roasted red peppers, garlic, and honey. Ghost Whisper is a pile of ghost and habanero with roasted peppers, garlic, onion, and red vinegar. It's a very powerful sauce with a deep and delicious flavor. And you guys got to check out the artwork on these bottles. Silk City uses professional comic book artists to create the coolest looking hot sauce in the biz. They offer great deals when you purchase the 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 mix and match packs. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com and use the coupon code CHOP. You're going to receive 20% off your order. You're going to receive a free bottle, and you're going to get some stickers along with that. That's silkcityhotsauce.com. All right. Thank you so much. We got the picks up there. There we are. All right. So we got the game tonight. I will say thank you to everybody supporting all these CHOP athletes and stuff. A big one, Mike Tverdov, Rutgers defensive end. Happy birthday to you, pal. And, of course, he's the first CHOP athlete that we acquired. And then, of course, Hippolyte, is that Hippolyte, right?
Yeah,
somebody
Ruben
correct
Hippolyte.
Me. Make sure I'm saying it right. Our boy over Ruben Hippolyte, our middle linebacker or outside linebacker for the Maryland Terps, his birthday as well. So be sure to go check those guys out. I'm actually wearing the Tverdov t-shirt for his birthday. I will say this. Jimmy Palumbo has joined us as far as in the chat, and he's watching. He said, the quarterback stinks. Giants win easy. So that's actually counterproductive. So you're talking bad about Daniel Jones, and you're picking the Giants. So, and I know you're not talking about our guy Heinicke here. So anyway, So before we get into all the fantasy matchups that we want to talk about, I do want to ask both of you guys for tonight in particular, how many startable players are in this game for your weekly? Now, I know there's a lot of people. There's actually people out there that my brother's one of them. I know that like they sometimes do one game worth of fantasy, which is like, get out. Like this is too much.
I'll name the guys that I think are worth starting in fantasy tonight.
For weekly, for season long fantasy people, what stock are you putting into who?
Antonio Gibson.
Obviously.
Terry McLaurin.
Sure.
The Giants defense. The
Giants defense. Okay.
The Redskins defense.
That's 4.
Logan Thomas.
5.
And I guess Saquon.
I got Saquon and
Kenny Galladay. Those two, I mean, Kenny Galladay, if you have better options at wideout, you might be looking to start somebody different. I know that you draft Galladay as a starter, but if you just wide receivers are extremely deep. So I do see Galladay as a potential sit option this week. Mm-hmm. If you have a guy, maybe like a Corey Davis or a Marvin Jones Jr., as Scoop had just asked me, right? So if you have a Corey Davis on your team, I think that's a legitimate replacement for a Galladay in your lineup, honestly.
Okay. Right? I mean, that's
last
good.
Week,
fantasy guy, what
last
do you
week,
got?
Last week, I don't think Kyle Wilson looked at anybody besides Corey Davis.
Yeah, Zach Wilson.
I was just like, now we got new quarterbacks
Kyle
playing.
Kyle Wilson is who?
Kyler Murray?
There's
or is
no
there
Kyle
a Kyle Wilson.
Wilson
that you're thinking of? Sure. I'm sure you're out there. So Kyle Wilson, shout out to you, my friend. We're talking about you here on the Chop Sports Podcast.
Yeah,
fantasy guy. Anybody we're starting besides the guys that Gooch just named?
No, the only four I have are Gibson, Logan Thomas, Washington defense, Giants defense. I wouldn't start a single person on the Giants. Their team sucks.
Okie dokie. So right. What do I do with Saquon Barkley?
You're
I mean,
not, you're
I got to start him, right?
You're gonna start Saquon if you draft.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
have to. But I also
drafted him 13th overall, so that's why he's sliding right into my starting lineup tonight. But we will set the rest of your lineups for this week's NFL slate because there's a lot of questions already after week one. Maybe some people hitting the panic button. My brother in particular, every time he loses a game, I'm talking about panic, straight like my team stinks. He's like a very Jimmy Palumbo-esque when it comes to fantasy football. He loses one game. And I said, I was like, dude, you're 20-point dogs this week to me in my home family league. And I said, you're going to shock the world, but we'll see. So let's set some lineups here. We have a couple matchups here. And look, this is where I think it needs to be prefaced with this. If you own Tom Brady or you own Aaron Rodgers or you own Dak Prescott, you're going to start these guys. That's not like there's no if or I don't know about this or whatever. Even though last week, the only one known that you said out loud a couple times, Gooch, was that you had Jameis Winston and you could have started. But you have Aaron Rodgers.
I had Jalen Hurts.
Oh, Jalen Hurts. That's sorry. I'm sorry. Jalen Hurts and Aaron Rodgers on the same team. You decided to go with Rodgers.
First of all, after the draft, all outside of your first or second pick, there's nobody safe. If there's a guy on your team that might have a better matchup, you gotta consider it, of course.
Okay, so like I said, the obvious quarterbacks will not be featured here. This is like if you waited on a quarterback, if you fantasy guide this quarterback situation, which I know AJ is big on just kind of waiting.
If your team fucking sucks, then this is for you, basically, because nobody drafted Teddy Bridgewater and Baker Mayfield.
I don't know, man.
Have to start them in week two. These guys are bi-week replacements. So Ryan Tannehill and Joe Burrow. Now that is a type of situation where
that's a debate.
If you miss one of the top seven quarterbacks, you might end up with both these guys. So this is a good one because there might be a potential combo on somebody's team that's listening. So Ryan Tannehill, Joe Burrow.
They're coming in. Tannehill's coming in at QB 11, and it looks like Burrow coming in at QB 13. The opponents definitely a factor here. Projected points. 19.5 for Tannehill, 18.5 for Burrow. So a 1 point difference there. Gooch, I'll throw it to you. Obviously, Tannehill's playing Seattle, and Joe Burrow has to go play the monsters of the Midway, Chicago Bears. Who do you got here?
I'm going to go Tannehill. I do like Joe Burrow this week, but I just think Tannehill has a bad taste in his mouth, and I think he is borderline elite quarterback. He's around right around, ooh, you know.
Throwing around the E word very easily.
I mean,
okay.
If you're a top 10 quarterback in the league, which I think he is, you could be considered to be elite.
So that means Gooch thinks Dak Prescott's elite. It warms my heart, really.
I mean, he is elite.
Thank you. Thank you. Guys, my birthday.
I've had zero Dak slander. You've heard zero Dak slander from me.
You just don't rank him as high as
Zeke's
I do.
That's a bitch, but.
Oh, my goodness. Why is that? Now, wait. What do you mean Zeke's a bitch? And what?
Well, we're not getting into this.
We don't want one of Chris's players to get injured. Please,
look at the guy.
Sorry,
look at the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bitch.
Okay,
that's the way. That's my answer to that.
All right. Anyway,
Tannehill.
Tannehill. You're taking Tannehill.
Seattle's defense played really good last week against the Colts, surprisingly, but the Titans have to come back and play inspired football. They had a stinker, and it was week one. So kind of like the Packers, I think we're going to throw away the tape on that one.
Fantasy guy, Ryan Tannehill or Joe Burrow?
I'm taking Ryan Tannehill in this one. I think there's big time potential for a bounce back game from him. The Seattle secondary is not that good. They really looked pretty decent last week against that Colts offense, but the Colts were struggling all over the field. They couldn't get anything going. Kind of similar to Tennessee, but I think that Tannehill has another week under his belt. They're going to readjust. They're going to be able to take some time, kind of fix some things that they did wrong last week. I think Tannehill and that passing offense bounce back this week with a nice game. No disrespect to Joe Burrow, of course, but I'm a little scared about that Chicago defense. I know they didn't look quite as well against the Los Angeles Rams offense, but they are particularly good. They do have some very solid guys in their front seven, and the Bengals don't really have a good O-line. So it will be interesting to see what happens in that one, but I'm going Ryan Tannehill all the way.
All right. I typically agree, but I'm checking on this just to make sure. And it looks to me that the Bengals are on the road, and that kind of leans my decision as the Seahawks are actually home. So both teams on the road. So that kind of, to me, I'm going to have to say the better home team is Seattle. That place might be rocking. And then again, Chicago coming off a loss against the Bears. This is an honest toss up. But I'm going to just go based off the weapons around him. I think the Titans have to rebound. If they start off 0-2 after having, they're 0-2 if they lose. If they start off 0-2 with all that high-powered offense, you're going to start to hear some questions. So I think Tannehill definitely bounces back. As far as the other matchup is concerned, if you are in, I know you don't want to spend too much time on a Gooch, that's fine. But if you are in.
I'll just do a modified one. If you have to start one of these guys, your team sucks. But if you're looking at the potential bi-week replacements down the line.
Sure.
Baker, I've noticed, was dropped in a bunch of leagues this week. For whatever reason, I think it was because of how well he played and still only put up like 15 fantasy points.
Okay.
The game script is going to just lend to them running the ball a lot. Kind of the same with Teddy Bridgewater. So I would say just for the rest of the season, you go Baker. But right. This week, you're going neither. If you're going with either of these guys this week, you're either in a really deep league and you're dags and your team sucks, or that's true story, by the way, or you just suck.
Okay. Well, if I had to pick one, I would probably more than likely pick Baker Mayfield over Teddy Bridgewater. I picked Teddy Bridgewater up, I think, three different times last year, you know, as like a replacement just to see if he can do anything. He never really came through for me. So I'm going Baker Mayfield. Let's move it on to the runners of the world. And these are some really good, big, hard decisions here because all of these guys are relatively good. And I'm interested to hear about your first take, where it's Josh Jacobs versus Javonte Williams. Josh Jacobs taking on the Steelers, who just shut down the Bills. His week rank is RB29. So it's actually kind of relatively back end, projected points 10.7. Then you look over at Javonte Williams, brand new, got the rock a lot last week, playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, which obviously are, you know, not that good either side of the ball. Weak rank, running back 30, projected points 10.6. I'm interested. I know you're excited about Javonte Williams, Gooch, because of the volume. Are you willing to ride him, considering the fact that Jacobs also was supplemented a little bit more and the toe thing, right? Kenyon Drake. Who are you going here, Jacobs or Williams?
I'm going to go Javonte Williams because of the matchups. Basically, both guys are in a time split. I think Jacobs dealing with the toe is going to make it more of a Kenyon Drake show.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the fact that the Raiders, I could foresee them playing from behind a little bit in this game. So if that is the case, then I do like Kenyon Drake over both of these guys this week, potentially. But Javonte Williams all day over Jacobs playing against a really, really stout Pittsburgh run defense. And I know Melvin Gordon's in the mix, but Javonte Williams is the guy that started the game. I don't think that really has much stock, but it was a pretty much dead even.
And remember, Gordon's stats were fluffed by that long, long run. I
think Javonte Williams actually out-touched Melvin Gordon.
It's possible.
And he did. Fluffed.
Oh, he did.
Fluffed,
okay,
is one thing, but he had that long run. So
I
have a hard time when a guy that is getting the ball 10 to 15 times a game on average has a long run, I would say that's more or less what he's supposed to be doing because he's getting touches.
Gotcha.
It's more so if, like, see a Henry Ruggs will have two touches and one of them will be for an 80-yard touchdown.
That was worth the pick. Right. All right. Fantasy guy, what you got, Jacobs or Javonte?
I am all on Javonte Williams this week. I think it's going to be a huge game for the guy. If you went ahead and you look at that Texans Jaguars game last week, all three of their, I'm going to say it again, very mids running backs, Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, and David Johnson, they all scored in that game. I think Javonte Williams is going to punch one in this week, and I think that he's going to show some more development in terms of his rushing ability against NFL competition. Josh Jacobs, no respect to the guy. I'm a big Josh Jacobs fan. But simply put, with the toe injury, with Yahoo designating him as questionable with everything, it's just a little hard to start that guy going into this week. So I think I'm a little good off Josh Jacobs for this week.
I'm going to also go with Javonte Williams simply because of the matchups. I think the Jaguars are a very bad team. Like you just pointed out, the Texans ran all over them. And I think the Steelers might have one of the better defenses in football. So it'll probably be a little – and just like you said, the Raiders might be playing from behind, not a lot of rush attempts towards the end of that game. A more difficult –
this could be the best one.
This is the one of the best matchups here when we're talking about our guys that we're picking here. It is the newly highly added. When I looked at, I think it was Yahoo. I think it was added 300,000 times. So people are jumping at Elijah Mitchell as the new premier running back for the San Francisco 49ers. His opponent is the Philadelphia Eagles. He comes in at RB27, projected points 11.2. Tyson Williams also kind of shot out of a cannon over the last. We knew he was going to be the guy because of by default, but now I think he's earned that stature in 1 week's play. His opponent, however, is the Kansas City Chiefs, who, by the way, led up a couple nice runs to a Chubb and a Kareem Hunt. So their run defense is a little suspect. His weak rank is RB26 and projected 11.6. Very, very tight here. There are one spot difference. They're actually both ranked higher than Jacobs and Williams going into this week. So I'll start with you, Gooch. Elijah Mitchell picked up by the world, or Tyson Williams picked up by the world 1 week ahead of that. So who's the flavor of the week this week out of the two?
If you were lucky enough, and I say lucky enough, to be deciding between Elijah Mitchell and Tyson Williams, congratulations, because that means that you're on top of your game.
Yes,
you're getting the proper players.
You might be a warlord rank.
So this is a hard one for me because I don't like the fact that Tyson Williams will probably be playing from down. That said, most of his production last week came through the air. I think he had like 6 catches, if I'm not wrong. AJ, could you check that out? So I think I'm almost positive he had a decent amount of points with very, very minimal rushing yards in my live scoring. So I'm not sure the exact stats, but Tyson Williams probably playing from behind for against Kansas City. Yeah.
Okay.
Kansas City.
I just thought that matchup is a little tighter than it should be.
But. Well, with their problems in Baltimore secondary.
Correct. Okay. Truth.
And Kansas City's
Tyreek Hill's in for a nice little treat, but go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
The Chiefs will score some points in this one. Elijah Mitchell, we saw Atlanta do nothing against Philly, but they did manage to actually run the ball decently well against Philly. I think Philly's weakness right now is their defense. If anything, their offensive line played well. Jalen Hurts played well. San Francisco just runs the ball on anybody. So I got to go with Elijah Mitchell. I'm not sure what he brings as far as a pass catcher because nobody really does. But from what I'm understanding is that he's a complete package. The only thing that scares me is
sixth-round pick. Crazy.
It's a potential Trey Sermon sighting this week because that's the old Shanahan approach where just when you think a guy is dead.
Shanahan brings him back in. His dad was like that too, man.
Yeah, bro. The
it's
Broncos,
crazy.
Broncos, same thing. Could you name a Denver Bronco running back after Terrell Davis?
There's like
probably
54 a year.
10,
right? 54 guys in the rotation a year. All right. What do you got, AJ?
Mr. AJ has Elijah Mitchell this week. I really wanted Gooch to disagree with me on this one, but we're both Elijah Mitchell. That was the one thing that I was looking at as well. That Falcons, The Falcons, they couldn't pass the ball, but they were actually doing pretty well on the ground. And Cordarrelle Patterson had more than 5 yards per carry. So I think a guy like Elijah Mitchell could have a big game this week. I think 49ers get ahead in that game early, and they're going to be pounding the ball the rest of the way. So I think that Elijah Mitchell has a very nice week. Tyson Williams, though, as you were saying, he does have nice PPR value. He did get 3 receptions for 29 yards last week. It shows that he's versatile in both games. So it's a toss-up, but Elijah Mitchell gets a slight nod for the kid.
All right. I'm also going to go with Elijah Mitchell only for the sole purpose of I was able to obtain him in 2 leagues this week. That's what happens when you come out flat in fantasy football and you didn't use your waiver. Guess what? You got first crop of the, first choice of the litter going into the week. So I'm taking Elijah Mitchell versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm taking the 49ers to definitely win that game, but we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Wait, so you do your waivers reverse order of standings?
Yes. You don't like that either? No. Shit, man. My league sucks, huh?
No, I would just say, like, the person that had
the I had the first waiver in Joe's league, and I'm not in last.
If you have the last pick of the draft, you should have the first pick in waiver claims, and it shouldn't get used until you use it. That's the way I
think. Yeah, I just did it. My league is the way it's like if you finish last that week, you're gonna get first pick next week.
Yeah, I hate that.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing you're not in my league. So that's I'm also a standard league. You really, really hate that league, right? Yeah. All right. So what do we got? We got the wide receivers here. As we go to Corey Davis, this is a question that Scoop had asked a little bit earlier when he was talking about Corey Davis. Corey Davis versus Mike Williams. Corey Davis comes in. He's going to be playing the Patriots in the Jets home opener, the week rank wide receiver 35, and of course, projected points 12.4. And then, of course, Mike Williams playing my beloved Dallas Cowboys with Justin Herbert being able to sit back there with no pass rush. Week rank 36, and of course, projected points 11.9. I'm just going to go out on a limb, say it before your guys' analysis. Justin Herbert not having a pass rush and getting to sit back and kind of choose which way he goes, either him, Keenan Allen, or Mike Williams. Mike Williams is going to dominate today, so I'm just this week, or he's going to at least have a nice little stat game. I'm giving my nod to Mike Williams. Gooch, what do you got?
One of my least favorite fantasy players in history is Mike Williams. Somehow I got stuck with him this year twice.
You sure it's the right Mike Williams?
Yeah, yeah. Right. I wasn't I had that sure conversation last week, but yeah, now I noticed that this new Mike Williams also got rid of his dreads. Am I wrong?
Another one that could have just gotten faster.
I think Mike Williams got rid of his dreads, and I think that might be why I like him more now. And I have nothing against dreads. I have something against
slows you down, man.
For whatever reason, I just think receivers with dreads.
Can I debunk that?
I can't get behind it. Go ahead.
Larry Fitz.
One.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Two.
Are they dreads?
Those things are freaking.
I don't know what that is. It's like a beehive when it takes it off.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Even consider like Derrick Henry dreads. That's like sword on the back of his head.
Matchup wise, Mike Williams is to go here. You saw Corey Davis get looked at, and I just did talk good about him, but I'm also kind of maybe I'm throwing a little shade at Scoop. Mike Williams, with the issues that Dallas has on defense. It would be counterproductive to not start any of the pass catchers that are worth starting in L.A. Is it L.A.?
Yes, yeah, it was L.A. officially. All right, fantasy guy, what do you got? Mike Williams, Corey Davis, are you going to go homer on this one, or are you going Dallas Cowboys stink?
Nah, you know what? I'm a respectable fantasy man, and as much as I love Corey Davis, this week is going to be a tough matchup for him against a Patriots defense that has an exceptional secondary. I think season long, obviously, Corey Davis gets the nod. But in terms of this week, when it comes to the matchup, Mike Williams finally got the target share that we've been looking for him to get all of his career. And that was against a tough Washington football defense. He got a crucial third down. I think that in this game against Dallas, he kind of builds upon that a little more.
Great.
Maybe he gets a touchdown.
Great.
Great. It's not a knock against the Dallas.
No, you can knock the Christ at him because it's just a bad defensive secondary. Because
guess what the Cowboys could do also exceptionally well? Score the ball. So it's just going to be a shootout.
Yeah, that's all I need is another shootout. All right, moving over to the other wide receiver matchup that we've chosen, Chase Claypool, who will also be taking on the Raiders. We just talked about Josh Jacobs before. The wide receiver rank is wide receiver 30, projected points 12.8. And Robbie Anderson, who was able to stretch the field last week with his boy, Sam Darnold, taking on the Saints. Week rank wide receiver 29. I do like and respect that you're doing like right back-to-back rankings. Like this is the close stuff that people care about. So projected 12.9 for Robbie Anderson. Gooch, I'll throw this to you first. I got my opinions, but take over.
I do like Claypool. I think he's a great talent. I just think that they're crowded over there in Pittsburgh. And Robbie Anderson, I think Marshawn Lattimore just had surgery on his thumb.
He did.
Or something like that. So he
also got a $100 million contract on the same day.
So he's obviously out this week. And now I know that the Saints just signed Reggie Roby, so that does give them the depth that they might need in this situation. But I would imagine that Reggie Roby is going to be
Bradley. Great. Bradley.
Bradley Roby. Okay. Reggie Roby. That's the fifth time I fucked up names in this episode. But
there is a Reggie Roby.
Roby's a former punter.
Reggie Roby Coleman.
The punter?
No, the corner.
Reggie Roby was a punter.
That's possible. That is possible.
For a fact. The guy you're thinking of starts as Nickel Roby Coleman.
Jesus Christ.
All right. So
you guys are best.
Hey now.
So Robbie Anderson is going to be probably looking at a backup corner.
Correct.
Covering him at least half the time. And he's got speed to burn. The Saints played really, really good last week. I think that there's a little bit of regression in terms of how well they played because they just everything worked. The defense will probably you'll see something regression to the mean. And I'm not saying the Saints are going to regress. Don't take that personal, Craig.
So the Raiders, to me, the Raiders as an opponent for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Raiders dealt with the Ravens last week, and they pretty much had their way. Other way around. So the Ravens couldn't really pass on the Raiders, which makes the Raiders a little bit more of an appeal as far as coverage is concerned. And what you said before with the Pittsburgh Steelers having such a crowded, you know, Deontay Johnson, him, and Juju. It's very crowded for me to get behind Chase Claypool right now. Robbie Anderson obviously just showed the rapport. It's back. Those guys are going to continue to light up the scoreboard. Lattimore being out, I'm all on board with Robbie Anderson on this one.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with a little bit of a shocker.
I'm sorry, I didn't even ask you.
No, it's all good. I'm a known Deontay Johnson guy, but Chase Claypool, I think, is a great start this week. If you look at Marquise Brown against the number one corner for the Raiders last week, he went for 6 receptions, 69 yards, and a touchdown. And I think a guy like Chase Claypool provides much more of a physical challenge in terms of coverage. I think that this week is a big week for Claypool. It could be one of those where he has those two touchdowns and 100-plus yards.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right, let's move it on over to the final thing. Tight ends here. Two decent, again, tight ends, if you don't get the Wallers and the Kelseys and the top premier tight ends, these matchups are actually relatively good, choosing this or that. Robert Tonyan getting their season back in line, hopefully, will get his home debut on Monday Night Football against the Detroit Lions. He comes in at tight end 13, 9.1 projected. Rob Gronkowski scored a couple times last week with against the Dallas Cowboy defense, which no answer for the passing game. He comes in this week at tight end 11, projected points 9.4. I'll just start off because I feel like the Green Bay Packers will indeed right the ship, and I think that this is an offensive driven team, and they're going to show it against the Detroit Lions. I'm taking pretty much every Packers offensive player this week. Gooch, go ahead.
All right, so Rob Gronkowski, there's a lot of mouths to feed over there with Tampa. Obviously, Brady has a little butt crush on Gronk. So Gronk, if they get in the red zone, and it's obviously Gronk territory, but so it's also Mike Evans territory. I think that's this week's must start is Mike Evans, because he kind of is the only
he was locked that down by Trayvon involved. Diggs. Yeah,
he didn't get involved in the offense. He had a drop late in the game, and everyone else got a lion's share of the targets. I think this is the week where you see Mike Evans. Rob Gronkowski kind of takes a backseat a little bit. If you look at Robert Tonyan's Monday Night Football stats, which I don't have them in front of me, I just don't miss Packer games. Pretty sure Robert Tonyan shows up on primetime
okay.
on Monday Night Football. I think he had two touchdowns last year on his first Monday Night Football game. I look for a little bit of the same. He's a touchdown-dependent guy. They don't really use him inside the 20s, but I do see a 40 spot in Green Bay this week. And last year, out of Rodgers' 40-whatever touchdowns that he threw, Tonyan and Devontae got pretty much half, if not more. So,
and I saw a stat yesterday that Rodgers after a loss is just it's kind of stupid. So, all right, you're taking Tonyan, obviously.
Bobby Tonyan all day.
Robbie Tonyan, fantasy guy. What do you got?
You know, Gronkowski, I think he has a nice matchup this week. But as you were saying, in their previous games with Atlanta, Gronk doesn't have the greatest of stats. Chris Godwin actually has shined in both of those matchups. So I'm good off Gronk this week. Robert Tonyan is a guy where if you kind of gave up on him, I've seen him drop in multiple leagues. I would definitely go ahead and start that guy this week. As Chris had mentioned, and something that I was keeping in the back of my mind, Robert Tonyan is wet when it comes to performing on Sunday night or Monday night football. He loves the lights.
Wet is good. Wet is good.
Okay. Wet is good. He loves the lights. He loves the prime time. He's ready for it. Start Robert Tonyan. Don't be an idiot.
Okie dokie. And then wrapping up this entire threat, this entire conversation would be Jared Cook or Cole Kmet. So both of these guys, obviously, a little bit towards the back end.
These guys made my free agent waiver wire.
This is true. So if you were able to get both of them, Jared Cook is taking on the Cowboys. And of course, he is tight end 16, projected for 8.0. The Cowboys necessarily can't cover Jared Cook at all. Broke my heart a couple years ago. Cole Kmet is taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Weak rank, tight end 17, projected 7.7. The Bears offense showed some kind of promise, but I still think that this is the Justin Fields show. It's just a matter of when. Hopefully maybe Andy Dalton will look Kmet's way this week. So we'll start with you, Gooch. Cook or Kmet?
Cook all day.
You were high on him the other day.
Yeah, I was high on Jared Cook. He's going to get a lot of targets this year. I know AJ was talking about Mike Williams uptick in targets, but Jared Cook in the red zone against a Dallas secondary and a defense that's just obviously over the past couple seasons shown trouble covering anybody. Yeah, Jared Cook all day. I do like Cole Kmet future going forward, specifically this season, specifically when Justin Fields gets the job. A lot of times you see a young quarterback kind of cling to his tight end as a safety valve, and I could see that out of a Justin Fields when he does get the job. So Cole Kmet, definitely keep on your radar, but if you're between one or two of these guys, you're definitely not rostering both. You know, Jared Cook and Cole Kmet should not both be on the same roster.
Maybe deeper leagues where you
honestly, even so, because a deeper league, it's like you need to back up other positions.
Correct.
if you're down to one tight end, if one of these guys is your starting tight end, you're not, there's probably not room. You just ignored tight end altogether.
Correct.
So there's probably not room on your roster for another one.
Fantasy guy, who you got, bro?
I think I'm going to give Cole Kmet the slight edge here because I like what Tyler Conklin was able to do against that Bengals defense last week. He didn't get the most targets, but he did make the most of them. He had a nice 41-yard game. It's not the most impressive thing in the world, but Tyler Conklin's not a very impressive tight end. I think Cole Kmet has much more of the physical tools that are needed to dominate against this Bengals offense. And while I don't think he has a world-blazing game, I think he has another solid game this week. I think that with me projecting everybody and their mother to score points in Los Angeles, somebody has to suffer a little bit. So I have Jared Cook.
All right. That'll do it for this week's fantasy matchups. We want to thank you guys for joining us here on the Chop Sports Podcast Network. And of course, the Chop Sports Daily Show. So for Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ behind the glass, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. And we'll see you guys tomorrow on a Feel Good Football Friday.